Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Welcome to the Between the Ropes podcast. Coming up this weekend, Friday through Sunday in Orlando at the Orange County Convention Center, it is MegaCon 2015. Some big stars from the comic world as well as from TV are going to be there taking pictures, signing autographs. And one of the biggest stars that's going to be there, that is the immortal Hulk Hogan. He will be there on Saturday and Sunday. Plus on Saturday night, it's Hulk Hogan Uncut, a special Q&A with the Hulkster. It'll be hosted by the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. You can go online to megaconvention.com to find out all the information about the event, and you can get tickets on the website as well. And joining me right now is the one and only Hulk Hogan. And let me start off the conversation with this, because you have such a huge fan base. They're so loyal. They're so passionate. They've been with you for such a long period of time. You've been in the wrestling business now for about 40 years, and you've had a huge legion of fans for at least 30 years of that. Why do you think your fans have stuck with you for so long and have been so loyal and so passionate for so many years?
Well, I think they, first off, fell in love with the character Hulk Hogan, you know, the all-American guy going against the, you know, Iron Sheik when it was a perfect storm when the U.S. was at odds with Iran. I think the character served well for what, you know, the storyline, you know, was pointing towards. I think it was kind of like the perfect storm of the being in shape with the tan, saying I was from California, and being plugged in at the right time by Vince McMahon. And I think that kind of, you know, put me on a higher level than I could have achieved by myself by building my house one brick at a time. I think I got on the launching pad right out of the chute. And then, that's not counting the 6 or 7 years I wrestled before, but from that point on, I think, you know, people just fell in love with the character, and then I was really, really consistent. You know, when they came to see Hulk Hogan wrestle, I delivered a performance that was, you know, consistent with a main event performance, and then I got to be tangible, and the people kind of like knew me and felt like they could reach out and touch me. I wasn't a distant star like an Angelina Jolie or a Brad Pitt or somebody like that. So, and, you know, they just became loyal to the character and the man behind the character, because they figured out I was a human being, and they survived all the ups and downs with me, and they were loyal to a fault. So I think it was a combination of all that stuff.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, when you talk about loyal to the man behind the character, because when you turned heel and joined the NWO, at first there was still a lot of passionate fans that hated you for that, but then that became the in thing, that became the cool thing. And it's, you look at it now and the many lives of Hulk Hogan through the years, that even through that, people stuck with you. And then going back to the red and yellow and Hulkamania afterwards, it's just been amazing that it's lasted this long. Are you even surprised that the run has lasted this long when it comes to the overwhelming popularity?
Yeah, I am. I thought for sure by now, you know, there's been 3 or 4 generations that have come along and been handed the football, and everybody carries it differently. You know, Cena carries it differently than Stone Cold or The Rock, you know, and I thought for sure there'd be somebody that would kind of carry the football like Hulk Hogan did and pretty much step into my shoes, but it hasn't happened yet. So it's been really cool that I got so well established that I think it's to the point now that no matter what happens, you know, the name Hulk Hogan will be around for a long time, because, you know, it's just been etched in stone, and the WWE is very supportive with the network, and, you know, the word immortal kind of becomes true now, because even if I was to pass away this instant, you could still watch my matches for years to come on the network. So kind of like, it's been a really cool spot to live forever.
Are you finding now that some of the younger fans are going back and watching the WWE network and now saying, hey, I just watched this match of yours for the first time, and it's like an iconic match of yours from maybe 20 or 30 years ago?
Well, the little kids are the ones that surprise me. You know, when I have a 5-year-old kid come up to me and say, oh, I just watched you body slam Andre the Giant, you're my favorite wrestler, I'm going, wait a minute, your father wasn't even alive when I did that. You know, it kind of puts me in a weird spot with these really young kids coming up to me and, you know, saying I'm their favorite wrestler. And now I guess it's because of the 6 or 7 years of Hogan Knows Best, there's a, you know, as a dad and a father and a husband, there's a huge female fan base for me. So it's really cool to see the young kids and the girls step up and go, hey, you're my favorite wrestler. It's really neat.
When was the, you know, it's funny because you talk about the character and the many lives. So I've always kind of wondered about this and when it all started coming together. Like, when was the first time that you ripped off your shirt and that became a thing?
Well, it was way before I wrestled the Iron Sheik. I kind of, in the old WWF, the Worldwide Wrestling Federation, working for Vince Sr. And I only lasted a couple of years in the Federation. And then I went to Japan and filmed the Rocky movie, and this promoter, Vern Gagne, asked me to come to Minnesota. And when I was in Minnesota, I became a good guy. And, you know, they wanted me to come in and beat up Jesse Ventura. He was the bad guy there in the Twin Cities. So when wrestling was really regional and we just stayed around the Twin City area, I kind of became the good guy and started figuring out that I didn't want to carry the big robe with me anymore. And, you know, the Hulk was on TV and he was hulking up out of his clothes. So I figured, why not just rip a shirt off? It's a lot easier to carry around from town to town. So, you know, I started ripping the shirt off, started figuring out the Hulk Hogan, Hulkamania character. It took me about 2.5-3 years to get it dialed in there, right, in the Twin Cities. And, you know, just by happenstance, you know, Vince McMahon called me, not Vince Sr., and asked me to come back. So I pretty much figured out the Hulk Hogan character when I was in the AWA, the Twin Cities. It took about 2-3 years to dial it in.
So we're now a little over a week removed from WrestleMania 31 out in the Bay Area. You were a part of it. You got to be out there with the NWO and be a part of the match between Triple H and Sting. What was it like being a part of the show on that stage again and actually being one of the active participants?
It was cool. You know, I still keep saying, you know, what Vince says, never say never. You know, Vince had his last match, I think, and he was like 67. I'm a lot younger than him. I'm 61, so I'm still training like I'm going to have a shot at the world title. But to actually be put out there and, you know, just not be a talking head, to actually get involved in the action and stuff, it made me feel alive again, made me feel part of the team. So it was really cool that the NWO walked out. We got such a huge response. It was just unbelievable.
You know, it's funny, leading up to WrestleMania, I would wondered, like a lot of other people, if you would have a role on that show. And I thought maybe the thing that fit a little bit more, just from the outside looking in, was you doing something with John Cena, because obviously he was going up against Rusev and the whole patriotic theme. Is that where you originally thought you might fit in if you were going to be a part of that show?
Brother, I thought after I said the Silver Dome and the Superdome, they'd never use me again after last year. I mean, because I was the host of WrestleMania. It was my first big stage, and I'd go out and do a blunder like that. If it had been me, if I'd have been Vince McMahon, I'd have made Hulk have him walk the plank and stick him in the back with my sword and make the sharks eat him, you know. But Vince was really cool. He goes, "Oh, that was a great moment. That was one of the greatest moments of the show, because then The Rock and Stone Cold can come out and make funny, and it was great, great TV." So Vince was very supportive, but I just figured, you know, after my blunder last year, they'd probably never use me again. But, you know, it was a situation where it was a huge opportunity, and I didn't know what my role was going to be. I had people asking me up until the day before if I was going to be at WrestleMania, and you know, I said, yeah, there's a big plan, but I can't tell you what it is. But there was, I didn't know anything was going to happen. You know, I had no idea.
Do you still want one more match?
If it makes sense, you know. I mean, you know, if we're in my world and you're in my brain right now, I'm looking at WrestleMania next year at the AT&T Stadium. I'm looking at the WWE breaking my indoor attendance record of 93,000-plus, you know, in that stadium where the Cowboys play, you know, put that ring in the middle of the field and load the football field up with people, you're going to put over 100,000 in there. So in my mind, it would make sense to have world title match, my next run start there, or my retirement match happen there, you know. So if you're in my brain, you know, you're thinking, oh, my God, I better be ready just in case, you know, they let me do it.
I like how you said that, because you said maybe a retirement match or maybe the beginning of my next run. Is that kind of always the mentality that you always have?
Yeah, I just, you know, it's just, you know, whether I hurt my back or I blow my knee out or, you know, break a thumb or whatever, I just never looked at an injury or old age as, you know, making my wrestling career over. But, you know, mortality comes into the picture, and I'm pretty hard-headed, and I'm going, oh, okay, well, you know, I really can't run like John Cena runs 300 days a year. You know, I really couldn't keep up with these guys the pace they go at. But I guess I'm in denial. you know, but I still look at it like, oh, man, you know, there's still some gas left in the tank, and you know, what would happen if I, you know, reformed, you know, the NWO with me and Kevin and Scott, and we brought in the young guys like Roman Reigns and Cena, and I took the whole NXT and went against Vince and the WWE. My mind's always clicking, you know, so, you know, in my mind, I guess I'm in denial.
Well, how is your back doing?
It's good. It's really good. You know, it's I had 9 back surgeries, so it's probably stronger than it's ever been because it's all metal. So, you know, there was a point for a couple of years where, you know, they said you never walk again, you're going to be in constant pain. All that stuff went away. So it's better now than it's ever been.
You know, when we look at WrestleMania now, obviously you've been there since the first one. You were a huge part of that one. Now we see what WrestleMania has become, including this most recent one with just the amount of fans that comes out, the doing it, the huge outdoor stadiums and the pageantry that's involved. What's your thoughts on looking at WrestleMania, what it was originally and what it's become?
Well, it's, you know, when we did the first WrestleMania, just like my career and just like my character, Hulk Hogan, it was built one brick at a time. You know, you went to every TV station, you called every radio guy up, you know, you made appearances everywhere, and we launched it. And it was a tough launch. You know, Vince bet the farm. He put everything he owned on the line to bet that this would work, and we came through. And now, you know, WrestleMania is like 40,000 lightning bolts coming at you with all the social media, the different vehicles. I mean, they've got so many different platforms to promote on, you know, that it's not even the same game. I can't even imagine if I'd had these tools back in the 80s when I started, how big Hulkamania could have taken off. So it's a different game now. It's a different business. It moves much quicker than it ever has, you know, because there's so many choices to make with the reality-based stuff and the, you know, the digital stuff, and just there's so many different media vehicles. You know, WrestleMania has changed, and it moves pretty quick now.
If we had social media in the 80s when Hulkamania was running wild, we'd definitely have No Holds Barred 2 by now, wouldn't we?
Hell, I didn't even have a cell phone to call the promoter back then to ask for a No Holds Barred 2. Yeah, I wish we did. I tell you what, I sure wish we had Mr. Nanny 2 and Suburban Commando 2.
Absolutely.
People still ask me about those movies.
Is there any one of those three in particular that's your favorite?
You know, I'm torn between Mr. Nanny was such a great kids movie and so many different wrestlers, and even Arnold did a spinoff of that whole babysitter type thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm torn because, you know, the Suburban Commando thing with Christopher Lloyd, you know, Doc from Back to the Future, I was a huge fan of his. I just loved being in that movie with him and The Undertaker and stuff.
You know, when it comes to Mania this year, what is there anything else in particular that stood out? Because, like, we got Undertaker coming back, excitement around the main event, and even Sting made his debut in a WWE ring finally.
Well, I think the thing that stood out to me was The Undertaker, how over he is. And he didn't come back for a fight. He came back in shape this year, you know, and he looked really great. You know, so to me, it was like seeing him come back and make that statement he made, you know, one more for the good guys, you know, because he's a constant. I think he really made a statement, you know, as far as the main event. You know, I think Brock Lesnar did a great job. It's just amazing to see how all of a sudden the fans have turned Brock into the ultimate good guy. It's just amazing how much people cheer for him now. So a lot of surprises.
Yeah, there's a lot of craziness. And then even the night before WrestleMania at the Hall of Fame, what was it like for you to be a part of that? And obviously you got to induct Macho Man Randy Savage, who was going in this year.
It was, you know, I was nervous, legitimately nervous, you know, because Randy and I were such good friends, you know, for so many years. I was with him more than he was with his wife, probably for 15 years. And then when he went through that, you know, divorce, he self-imploded and took everybody with him. And I was on the outs for many years, and there were just all kind of crazy things going on. And then, you know, a few months before he passed away, we accidentally bumped into each other and mended the fence, and it was the same old Randy with a gleam in his eye, and he just got remarried, and he was happy as it was the same Randy I used to know. So it was bittersweet, you know, to, you know, have to be there. And, you know, I basically thought that Lanny should have inducted him in the Hall of Fame, and Lanny, you know, lobbied hard for me to do it because he said I knew him better than anybody. So it was tough. It was really hard, and I was nervous. I wanted to do him justice, and you know, all the haters were going, "Oh, Hogan's going to make it all about him." And just, it was just amazing to see when you're honoring somebody, you know, just how many people come out of the woodwork with different opinions. It kind of caught me off guard. I didn't think in a moment like that, when we're there, you know, honor someone and tell someone how much you love someone and what a great professional they were, that there are all these left-sided comments coming out. It kind of caught me off guard.
Yeah.
But we got through it.
Yeah. Speaking of people being appreciated, what was it like for you just over a month ago at Madison Square Garden, Hulk Hogan Appreciation Night?
That was a cool night. They brought me in there and Triple H was there. And I said, "What are we doing? What's going on?" "Well, you're just going to have to find out." So when I went out, I didn't know anything about the painting or the banner or, you know, what was going to happen. I just kind of went with it, you know. So it was an amazing night. You know, when I know I pulled up to the garden and I saw the whole garden was red and yellow, I knew something was up. I knew it was going to be special.
Where is that painting right now?
The painting is at my house.
Do you have it up on the wall, like in the foyer?
No,
or?
It's still packaged up. It's soon to be at Hogan's Beach Shop on Clearwater Beach, so all the fans can see it.
Oh, nice. Any idea what they're doing with the banner?
I'm not sure. I mean, you know, I haven't talked to anybody since that night. But Triple H told me for camera reasons they were putting it up so the hard camera could get a shot of it, but then they were going to move it.
Yeah.
And when they said move it, I didn't know if they meant, you know, move it somewhere else in the garden or just take it down. I didn't ask. So I'm not sure where it's at now.
You know, it's funny you talk about Randy being in a happier place in his life. And, you know, I saw you last year and just in talking to you now and kind of your whole mentality, do you feel like you're in a different place in your life right now and appreciating things more than the past and everything that you've gone through, especially over the last 10, 15 years?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, I don't do crazy anymore. You know, my kids call me up, "Oh, my God, you won't believe what happened here and there." And, you know, us guys, you know, call me back because I don't do crazy anymore. And it's pretty much that with everything. You know, I went through so much craziness with the divorce and just all the insane stuff that's happened, you know. And I was kind of like in that vibration where I was, you know, in the middle of all that stuff and didn't even know it, you know. And anything like that, you know, I was just crazy and off the wall and just totally nuts. I, you know, just pray for the person, the situation, wish them the best, and just hope that, you know, it kind of calms down and settles, because I won't get involved with crazy. You know, I'm not confrontational. I'm not negative anymore. You know, I had enough carnage and craziness in my life where it's just, I don't want to get caught up in that upheaval. It just makes me nauseated to think about any type of upheaval or anything that's just negative or confrontational. It's just not me.
Yeah. And that's kind of the change, I think, when it comes to the business a little bit, because there's always going to be an added sense of craziness or paranoia to some extent. But I think now, you know, when you get to a certain age, or even in today's WWE, I think some of that has calmed down a little bit. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, there's a lot of craziness, you know, back in the day with me and Randy, that calmed down. There's craziness with me and Shawn Michaels, that calmed down. There's craziness with me and the Warrior, that all calmed down. I mean, you know, when you get to be in your 50s and 60s, you know, you need to grow up, you know. And it's just, you know, grown men that are 50 and 60 years old still acting like they're 18 or 20 is just a little ridiculous. So I'm pretty much matured and kind of like definitely come full circle.
Let's talk about MegaCon, which is coming to the Orange County Convention Center in Orlando Friday through Sunday. You're going to be there Saturday night. You've got Hulk Hogan Uncut. It's a special Q&A with you, and it's going to be hosted by Jimmy Hart. And then you're going to be...
I was signing autographs during the day before.
You're signing autographs during the day, and I know you're going to be there Sunday
sure.
as well.
We're starting early Saturday doing the autograph stuff, and then we're doing the Q&A, and it's pretty much uncensored. The fans can kind of ask whatever they want. We just let it roll. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's it like now getting in front of the fans on that forum, and are you ever surprised by anything that they do ask?
No. No, they can ask whatever they want. I've been asked it before, and I got answers, so it's pretty easy to be accountable and truthful, and it's nothing shocking anymore. Fans know everything.
Right. Do you like how wide open the business is now?
It's different. You know, it's changed. I mean, you know, it was cool before, you know, when, you know, everybody believed that everything that happened in there was real. Even if they thought it was not real, they didn't know unless you told them. You know, there are no smart fans anymore. I've been in the wrestling business 35 years, and I just figured out that the guys in the back don't talk Kiz Arnie anymore.
Right.
You know, I didn't even know that, you know, and so, and I thought I understood the business, you know, and apparently I don't. It's completely different than it was last year, you know, and it's just like amazing how many, you know, fans go, oh, I'm smart, I'm kayfabe, and those words aren't even used anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty amazing. So, you know, I had the business turn inside out, and, you know, people realize it's predetermined. You know, I think they got a pretty good idea that it's not fake because of all the injuries. Might be predetermined, but people really get hurt bad out there. So
absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's good and bad. You know, I kind of liked it when there was more of a mystique to it, you know, and people weren't so jaded. But, you know, you got to change with the times.
So last thing, what's next for you when it comes to WWE, or what would you like to do with them?
Well, you know, they're on the road to WrestleMania already. You know how that goes. So I'm going to be lobbying real hard for Hulk Hogan in Dallas next year. And other than that, you know, I'm just entertaining a few movie scripts here. And, you know, when I get off the phone with you, I'm going to go over my schedule with the WWE guys. I know I'm going to Australia and then heading over to wherever the heck it is, the UK or something. They get me on a crazy treadmill right now, but it's a lot of fun.
How often do you get hit with movie scripts?
Not very often. I just did a movie with David Hasselhoff called Celebrity Deathpool. We're all trying to kill him.
Right.
Then I did a movie with Scooby-Doo. I mean, Scooby-Doo teamed up. And then I'm actually before you called, I got a message from the writer who's doing like the Hulk Hogan version of the wrestler. And I'm reading the second pass on that script, but it's not, I don't like working that much, you know, so my agent knows, unless it's something really special that, you know, I'm just, you know, it's just somebody hit me with Britney Spears wanted me to be in her next video and I just passed. You know, just, I'd rather be at the beach and at home, you know, and hanging out with my wife and my dogs and stuff in some trailer for 14 hours a day.
Yeah, this is a special time where you get to chill out. You've already put the miles on the road.
You're right, brother. I sure have.
Everybody can go online to megaconvention.com. You'll find out everything that you need to know about MegaCon 2015. It's taking place this Friday through Sunday at the Orange County Convention Center in Orlando, Florida. Find out about all the great guests that are going to be there, from science fiction and comics and TV. You can also get tickets online to the convention right there at megaconvention.com. Plus, Hulk Hogan is going to be appearing at 10:30 in the morning on both Saturday and Sunday, signing autographs and taking pictures. And of course, you can be a part of the special event, Hulk Hogan Uncut. That takes place on Saturday night from 7:30 to 9 Eastern. That's hosted by the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. It's a special Q&A with Hulk Hogan. He'll answer any question that you have for him. Just a great opportunity to interact with the legendary Hulk Hogan. Special tickets are available for that online as well at megaconvention.com, including VIP tickets. It should be a great week. It's always a lot of fun to go to MegaCon, and it's going to be again this weekend. MegaCon 2015, this Friday through Sunday at the Orange County Convention Center in Orlando. Go on out there, meet all the great guests, including the one and only Hulk Hogan. You can buy tickets and find out more about it online at megaconvention.com.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have an